Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars today. October 14th, it is Wednesday, hump day, if you will.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, my, hold on 1 minute here. And yes, I was listening to a YouTube video yesterday, and I forgot to mute it again after I was done. Sorry about that. So I'm hoping everybody's doing well this morning. Checking in already, we have Amy and Tati. Good morning to both of you. Today, we are going to take a look at not only the transits for the day, we are looking at the beginning of a new human design week as well. So we're going to go through that. And this is Wednesday, which means we're going to take a look at the next house in our series on the astrological houses. So today we're going to be taking a look at the eighth house in your astrology chart, the house that most people know of as the house of sex, death, and rebirth. But I think you'll see it holds so much more than just what those words imply. In fact, even those very words, though, imply quite a lot, right? So we're going to take a look at what that means for all of us. And as well, what was the other thing I had today for you? I didn't even look up the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. I know it's an 11 day because we're into illumination today, or illuminating. That's what the 11 would be. And let's just see what comes after exploring. You'd think I'd know this by heart by now. And today is healing. So it's a magical kind of day, right? An alchemical day. Ish in the Mayan calendar was the healer, the shaman, the priest. So we have some high spiritual energy available with us today. And I have something in my eye here, likely one of Sadie's cat hairs, which is going to drive me crazy for the time it's sitting there in my vision. All right. So not an auspicious beginning this morning, but hey, let's continue on and take a look at what is up. So this morning we find the moon in Virgo, still moving through the last 10 degrees or so of the sign. And we'll also see that this afternoon here on the West Coast, this evening, for those of you on the East Coast, the moon will turn into the void once more, right? Once more. And we'll be wandering around a bit until 10:54 my time. So that's going to put it at about 1:54 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And then we'll move into Libra, where she begins preparation for the new moon, super moon, which will occur on Friday afternoon. And tomorrow we'll take up the new moon and kind of bridge that over into Friday, because it happens to be a pretty highly energized moon. And we'll want to break that down a bit, let you all know what's happening with that. So today, while the moon is finishing up her transits in Virgo, we are still looking at the details. We still have work and routines to address. We're getting to the practical orientation of something. I told you guys I was going to clean off my desk yesterday, but it didn't happen. But I got so much done yesterday, and somehow things were being revealed to me during yesterday's day, because it was my personal new moon day. Things were being revealed to me that were like the holes of something that I hadn't quite finished, that I didn't even realize that I hadn't finished. So it, all in all, it was a very good day. By about 5 o'clock, I'm like, I'm done. I'm just done with this day. So much going on. And then, of course, it was my husband's birthday. He ended up working late, which sucks, but we're going camping next weekend, so it'll come out in the wash. But today's aspects with the moon in Virgo are actually pretty good. The first aspect up on the list of the day is an opposition to Neptune, and likely that's going to be the most difficult, if you want to call it difficult. It's really about being sensitive, and sensitive not only from the emotional point of view, but from the ability that we have to sense that something is happening, or our sixth sense, if you will, our being able to tap into spirit, to tap into our intuition or our instinct. So early in the day, we have that instinctual, intuitive connection because the moon and Neptune are opposing one another. The last three aspects, I'm sure you're waiting to hear this one, is a trine between the moon in Virgo and our Capricorn bunch, Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn, in that order being hit one after the other by the moon today. But unlike the squares that bring up challenges, the trines tend to make things sort of easy and flowing. And that is an ease and flow of productivity type of energy today. So it's very supportive in helping us to get done the things that we need to get done. And I still have a list. I'd show it to you if I could find where I wrote it down. Know what good lists are if you can't find them. So I still have a list of things to get done today, but I have that Virgo energy plus the three trines to the Capricorn planets, which Capricorn is really helpful as a sign in helping us get to the completion of something by using goals, by taking a step-by-step approach, by having a to-do list. Actually, that's more Virgo's end, having a to-do list and being able to tick those things off one after the other. It felt really good yesterday. I think I shared with you that I had over the weekend a shock with the Terry's bank card getting somehow hijacked, and then a letter from the IRS that, you know, anytime you get a letter from the IRS, it's just scary. And both of those kicked out yesterday with ease in the afternoon after I finished our profiles webinar. And I was surprised, even though I waited online, or I waited on the phone on hold for 30 minutes almost with the IRS, the net result was, you know, an easy thing to do. Somehow a form got disconnected from the other forms, part of my taxes for my business. And all I needed to do was send the copy of that and voila, taken care of. And all I needed to do for the bank was have Terry sign something saying that he had the card in his possession, and voila, that was done. So what was scary and triggering for me ended up being something fairly easy to get through, but I just had to do the work to get through it. So I hope in your own life, wherever it is that the earth had been delivering you some shocks, that you too were able to move through them with ease and with grace. It doesn't mean that we don't have to do the work to get through them, because I certainly did, but it wasn't as scary as the shock would first have had me, you know, believing that that might be. So all in all, today, get some things done, right? Clear off your desk, clear off those to-dos. We have support today, in other words, from the planets, in getting things done. Now, we also have another small aspect that I almost missed because my program doesn't use the North Node in giving me the daily reports. So I have to go to a different source for that. And some mornings I don't have time. This morning I did, and I realized, oh my gosh, today the sun in Libra is in a trine, a smooth flow of energy with the North Node, which is the destiny piece, our collective destiny, if you will, which is in Gemini. So a trine, as you know, is the easy connection between those planets. They're in like elements. They're in air. Air is about information. It's about learning. It's about trading secrets, if you will. But there's a lot of exchanging going on, a lot of talk, a lot of communication through email, through text messages, etc. So when we have an air trine, we have movement going on, right? Movement in our lives. Now, the North Node represents our collective destiny. Where are we moving? But in your own chart, you have a destiny as well. And when the collective destiny is different from your own destiny, it's showing you the next level of what it is that you're needing to work on. So for example, my North Node is in Leo. So I'm working on being the center of attention, following my heart, doing what I love, and sort of individualizing rather than being part of a group. But in Gemini, it might mean for me that destiny is pushing me to get more of my voice out there, right? To get more of my work out there that's related to teaching and so forth. So what a great day today then for me to be teaching you about the eighth house in astrology, right? So this is a transit, the sun trine the North Node, that is having us reach for the stars, right? Reaching for the next level in our approach to our destiny. So we're encouraged today to follow that dream, to follow the steps, the goals, the dreams, the visions, the outline that perhaps you have for connecting to your goals, to getting, you know, connected to your aspirations. Don't give up the dream. That's what the sun and the north node would seem to suggest for us, even in the face of challenges that might arise or a world that looks like it's not quite ready for you yet. Don't give up your dream. Today may be the start of receiving help from helpful people in your life, maybe people that you didn't even know that could be helpful and supportive to your work, relationships that help you succeed and achieve. That's kind of something you could be looking out for as well. So the sun trine north node will be in effect for a couple of days still, and take advantage, right? Today, especially with today's energies, with the moon and the sun aren't in an exact relationship to one another, but they're both supportive of the very earthy practical concerns that of getting things done, but then also daring us to reach out to change whatever in our lives that we need to in order to reach those stars, right? Reaching for the star. There's a saying, reach for the stars. The worst that can happen is you'll fall amongst the clouds. I mean, that's kind of fun to think about, don't you think? All right, let me check over here in YouTube and say good morning to everybody. Lots of people checking in. I already said good morning to you, Amy and Tati and Elisa. Good morning to you, J-Lo, hello. And Christine Buckingham, hello. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, good morning. What a weekend and week. I know my yard kind of looks like a war zone this morning because we had some pretty high winds yesterday. Luckily, my power stayed on, but a lot of people here in Washington lost power. And the whole yard is just littered with leaves and branches and twigs. And I need another wind to come along and blow all that stuff away. good morning, Jennifer and Adrienne and Asa. Hello, Ursula. Good morning to you, Mimi. Yawn. Good morning. It is. It's kind of that Neptune morning, isn't it? J-Lo says, hello, Astro fam. I know the feeling, Mimi. She says, I just woke up fighting the blankets. Leslie Zuber, good morning. And Kathleen Mallory, hello. Mimi says, J-Lo slept late and just having my coffee. Love it. J-Lo, cheers in my robe on my iPad, cuddling with the energy. Good thing to do this morning with that opposition to Neptune. J-Lo has a hidden comment here. I don't know why they decide that that's going to be the thing they're going to do. She says, I have nothing in the eighth, but OFC sitting across is the huge Saturn watching it. Ah, yes. Teaching you lessons about earning. CR Bowles, Sue, good morning to you. Let's do this. The eighth house. We are going to do that. J-Lo says, today I clean out my table. Also, it looks like a mini Black Friday passed by here. Amazon days. Is that what it was? Puffing Pixie, good morning. And Augustina, good morning. It's great to see everybody. If you're just joining us for the first time, we welcome you to the Living Astrology community. I did not get to set up that page yesterday, but hopefully today will be a quieter day and I can get to that so that we can have a true community set up on Facebook as a group supporting the work that we do here and allowing all of you to share of your wonders and awe. And as well, don't forget next Tuesday, the community forum, let's call it, where because we had reached our 500 plus level of subscribers, the gift I wanted to give to all of you is the ability to bring your astrology, gene keys, human design questions to forum and get them answered. So depending on how many people come there, try to keep it to one major question that you have. Ursula, I did receive your question this morning and it is an interesting one. And I think you're part of the membership, so we'll do yours on Friday. And others of you be thinking about what is the biggest question that you have about your astrology, your personal chart, your personal gene keys, or your personal human design. And the link for that is sitting on the Living Astrology Facebook page. And you can find that. All you have to do is click on that link. It will take you to Zoom. You can mute your camera if you don't want to be seen, because I can still unmute the sound and hear your question. And I will be able to share my screen with your chart on it so that everyone can see and learn from what we discover about each other. Sue, nothing in my eighth house too, but opposite is Mercury, the sun, and the part of fortune. Some good stuff going on there. So before we launch into the eighth house, which the eighth house takes up the whole of the back page of my deal this morning, I ran out of ink. Can you believe that? I ran out of ink again while I was in the middle of that, had to change colors. Let's talk next about the Human Design Week, because the Human Design Week is changing as well today. And I'm going to start this in a different way today. Usually I start by showing you what the energy of the day or the next week is going to be, and then I show you the chart. Instead, today I'm going to show you the chart first, and that way you get a visualization. So if you have your own Human Design chart at hand, this is a great time to bring it out so you can be following along here. All right. So everybody should be seeing today's Human Design chart. This was a chart drawn up. It's called Just Now. You can get a Just Now chart anytime you want to by going to jovianarchive.com. And under the resources tab, if you drop that down, it says Just Now, and you can get this chart. So if you need to know like what planets are sitting where, you can do that, or get it weekly, however you want to do that. But what this does is shows us by gate where the planets are sitting right this moment. This is not a person, but if this was a person being born right now, this would be their personality, right? This would be the conscious line of their human design. So we can see that the sun and the earth have changed gates. The sun is now at the gate 32, which is over here sitting on the spleen center. And the spleen, of course, we knew we were going to get hit in October, late September, October, and maybe the first week, I think it is in November, with the sun's transits through the gates of the spleen. And as the sun transits those gates, it kind of triggers the potential for us to have to look into the shadow of the gate that it is that it's sitting at. So today we have the sun at the gate 32, and the gate 32 on the spleen is called the gate of continuity, but its fear is the fear of success, maybe, or the fear of failure. Often it takes the fear of failure. And if you'll note, it's actually being it's a channel that's being completed right now, because we have the planet Jupiter right here, this symbol, sitting at the gate 54. So this is completing the entire channel of transformation, it's called, but it is a design of being driven to accomplish goals or dreams or ambitions. So all of us right now have this channel completed, whether you have it there by birth or not. You all have all of the human design in your own personal chart. This whole channel may be empty, right? It might be just white. It might be a conditioning field for you that you're taking in the energy from the people around you at times. And when you're by yourself, there's no action going on in that ambition or drive or energy. It's workaholic energy here as well. But now all of us have the transiting Jupiter at gate 54 and the transiting Sun at gate 32. So this channel is activated for all of us. I so feel that right now, because I'm just seeing the work piling up. Sometimes I feel like even with Asa out there, I'm only one person and I cannot get it all done. I'm sitting here on charts that I need to get out for people, but I just couldn't get to it. And so I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed by the amount of work that I have to do. And that can tempt me to, or you, if this is happening to you as well, tempt me to stick with things too long, right? To keep going and going and going. I have the Energizer Bunny energy. I can do it. But you might be a projector or a manifester or a reflector who suddenly got access to this workaholic energy. You may be pushing that envelope and you may be burning yourself out. So we'll want to watch for that during this time period, not to burn the candle at both ends, because that ends up weakening you, bringing you into a burnout situation. And even those of you who are generators and manifesting generators still need to remember that the root center energy pulses. It turns on and it turns off, and it is in reaction to adrenalized stress. So it can trigger you to keep going and going and going. but it's a pulsing energy. It's on and then it's off. It's on and then it's off. So remember to take breaks, right? Remember to get up, stretch your legs, take a walk, go eat something, drink something. Make sure you see to your own personal needs without overdoing it here in this particular channel. Now, the Earth in our charts this week is sitting now at the gate 42, which is on an open sacral here. Many of you might have the open sacral if you're projectors, manifestors, or reflectors. And now you have a hanging gate 42, which is called the gate of completion. So the sacral energy here is pushing us to complete something, a project, to complete with a relationship, to complete anything that you have sort of that's just hanging out there. So the energy is about coming to a conclusion with something. Remember, the Earth is what grounds us. The Earth in grounding us allows us to take advantage of the sun's energy coming in. Now, besides the fact that the sun at gate 32 is triggering a fear of failure, it is also the ability to see that ambitions and goals and our dreams have an outlet through the spleen here, and then can be taken from the gate 44 onto the gate 26. So we have a part of a channel here, a part of a circuit here, or a stream that is related to business. So this is about business. So some of you business people out there or who have your own personal businesses, this is a real time for you to get into a flow, a stream of consciousness about the nuts and bolts of the goals. And then over here is actually the marketing and the sales part, the closing of a deal, the art of closing a deal over here on the channel 4426. And then it almost... it completes that whole circuitry by making it to the gate 45. The only thing that's missing right now here is the gate 21. So it's an interesting stream, this stream of business that takes us from the dream or the goal or the ambition here at gate 45, all the way up into the money that comes in when or the resources that flow into your business when you've done the goals and the dreams, the marketing and the sales, close the deal, and then the money flows. So that's just an interesting stream of consciousness that runs through your human design. And all of us right now sort of have most of it, it looks like, activated. So, okay, hopefully that helps kind of clear that up. We are still activated by the Pluto, Saturn up here at the gate 61 and Uranus at the gate 24. So we're still dealing, this is called the stream of the abstract or the channel of the abstract or rationalization. And it is meeting up with planets that are showing us our psychosis, our collective psychosis, if you will. And we also have the gate and channel here of confusion. So some of you are out there feeling like your neck and head have just been whipped around. You're confused. You don't know where to go next. You don't know who to do that with. You don't know what your dreams are. You don't know what your goals are. Welcome to the club. Everybody is experiencing that with you right now. It is Venus that is sitting at the gate 64. This is download gate, right? This is where we take in ideas, we take in inspiration. It's like an antenna that's open to the cosmos. So we may be bringing in some new ideas or things that we want to take steps on, but we're confused here in how to execute that. The how is elusive. We know the what, but the how hasn't come to us yet. And that might be because of transiting planets. It might be the instruction manual was just being hidden from you. But guess what? We also have a planet, the moon, temporarily this morning sitting at the gate 47. It is the gate of epiphany. So if you could get out of the woe is me mindset, if you could just be open and in wonder and awe, then possibly you're going to find the solution to your confusion because both gates are activated today. This is not long, right? This is not long because the moon will move on. It's a little bit longer with Venus, but it is probably a day or two at most where you have Venus here and just today that you have the gate 47 activated by the moon. So be open to receiving those inspirations, those ahas, those ideas. I kind of love that energy. Okay, anything else new here that I want to talk about? No. Okay, so I'm going to stop sharing that one. And now let's take a look specifically at the gates that the sun and the earth are going to be in. Got to share the chart. Nope, I'm going to do that one. There we go. Okay, so now you should see the week three. This is the week three in human design. The sun will be sitting at the gate 32, which is called the gate of continuity. But literally, I could also call this the gate of transformation or the gate of change, the gate that tells us that change is one of the few constants that we have in this life that we can count on that sustains growth, right? Without change, we would stagnate. We would die on the vine, so to speak. We would have no place to go. So the gate 32 with the sun is causing change. It is causing a sort of transformational energy to run through the human design, the humans on the planet this week, including you personally, but also us as a collective. So there are, like we said, few things you can count on except for change. Now, this week is about optimizing growth by reducing our fear of failure that change will often trigger in us, right? Often it's that if we realize, oh no, we have to do new things. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to lately who are afraid of Zoom, right? They're afraid to be seen on camera. They're afraid of the technology. And in my mind, I look at that and go, it's so simple. You click on a link, it opens it up, you allow your audio, you allow the visual, and boom, it's done. But for some people who have not entertained this kind of technology before, it might be a little scary. So it is forcing us into a change, right? Because we need to be able to connect with one another, even if we can't connect in the face-to-face or the physical. Zoom is a great change that can come upon us that allows us still that connection. So looking in your own life to at what it is that might cause or trigger a fear that is something that you need to change into. And I was just thinking, is there something in my own life right now that I need to change that triggers a fear? Not at the moment, but who knows, right? At any moment, we can have something that comes up in our lives, forcing us to look at change. And then the other thing that is happening is the earth at the gate 42 is at the gate of completion or the gate of conclusion. Sometimes we call it that. This is a gate of endurance. And for us to be able to use endurance to stick with something until its natural end. But it isn't a gate of pushing. So completion is something that happens when you've held on to that goal or that dream and things begin to move to the conclusion. But sometimes before you get to the conclusion, you have to change things up. There might be a fear that you might fail. And so you might even decide not to go to a conclusion because what would that mean? But I want to give you another idea here. This is just an idea that niggles at me sometimes because I think some people aren't necessarily have a fear of concluding something or completing something, or they don't have a fear of failure the way that we often think of failure. Like I have this goal and this ambition and I put it out there in the world and I'm afraid to fail. What if this gate also sometimes shows us where we have a dream or an ambition, but then we're afraid of the success it might bring, right? Makes me think of that Marianne Williamson quote about our greatest fear isn't that we are, not good enough. It's that we are beyond our dreams good enough, right? That we really are of divine beings. And that we have been conditioned to believe that we need to play small in the world when in reality we are all big and full of life and full of gifts and talents that we brought to share and that we're all a whole lot more in the success stream and maybe afraid of what that success might mean. Especially I think of my hermit line people who, might think that success means they have to be seen, right? Oh my God, I don't want to be seen. And maybe some people who are experiential thinking, oh no, one more experience and how's that going to play out? And is it going to bring me more pain and more suffering or, more experiments that blow up on me kinds of things. So it's an energy that can trigger different responses, I think, from within us during this period of week. When we look at the gene keys, we see the shadow of the gate 32 is failure. So we fear failure, right? We feel like we fear that we're not good enough. So we are walking from failure to veneration through preservation. Now, when I look at that one, I think about preservation as being all the things that you've accomplished up this far that are supporting you to get to the next level, right? That's what I think of. And then veneration, the end result when you've stuck with it and you've gotten to the end and how good it feels to be in completion of something, right? To say that I stuck with it even at times, through the times when I feared that I would fail, right? Success then is so sweet. The gate 42 in the gene keys is the path of expectation to celebration through detachment. So we see the shadow here is expectation that it's going to happen the way I want it, when I want it, with whom I want it to happen, where I want it to happen, and how I want it to happen. And in reality, that expectation causes us to be blinded to the way that things could be. Right? So detachment is really the gift when we step back and we say, we don't know how this is going to come to us. I don't know how this is going to be solved, but I'm open to waiting to see how that happens, right? And then in the ending of that, or in the completion or conclusion of that, celebration. Who doesn't like a celebration? I could think of a couple different songs I could break out singing here about celebrating, right? Celebrate good times. All right, so that is our human design for the week. Asa, I'm going to check and see any questions on human design. I'm getting all kinds of stuff from people, but not Asa. So, okay, good. No questions. Let us go then to the eighth house. Oh, I forgot to do my graphic. Oh, gosh, what am I going to do? Whatever am I going to do? So I guess I will bring up the blank chart and just highlight where it is. Desktop. There we go. We'll do that one. And now I'm going to share my screen to show you all where the eighth house is. I think most of you know the chart well enough that you'll know where that is, but let's just take a look and share with people who might not know. And here's how I make this bigger. So we are now moved to the eighth house. You can see hopefully my little pink cursor here, outlining the eighth house of merging, sex, intimacy, shared finances, inheritances, taxes, loans, assets, property, joint ventures and goals, mystery, and your partner's resources. It really does seem like it's a very juicy house. It has a lot of interesting things about it. A lot of mystery surrounds this particular house. Even so, the eighth house and the 12th house, two of the more mysterious houses in astrology. And there are a lot of different meanings here. But if we look at what is opposite of the eighth house, what we see is the second house of money, work, and income. So this is the house of where you earn money. Right? This is the I earn, the I have side of the equation. And over here is the we have or we share resources. So the eighth house is just the next octave, the next level up of the second house. But it also contains things other than financial concerns as well. Now, the sign that sits on the eighth house will tell you a little bit about how you go about entertaining eighth house issues of other people's money, of intimacy, of sexual connection, of how you deal with loans and debt and credit. And any planets in here can also show you some of the events or actions that take place in this particular house for you. All right. And if you have any questions about this part, you can always ask them and Asa will bring that to me. So now let's take a little bit of a deeper look at this particular house. It is a house that in the natural zodiac wheel would be ruled by Scorpio. So you can already see there would be intensity here. There would be passion here. There would be a sort of need to go through the darker side. That's where like secrets and taboos and things come up here. It is a house, as it's ruled by Scorpio, would also have Mars and Pluto as co-rulers of the sign. So we see two very powerful planets. And you can imagine if you have Aries sitting now on your eighth house, you have Mars retrograde there. Mars retrograding in that sign, squaring Pluto in Capricorn. So you could see some actions along that eighth house if that is what's happening in your personal chart. So we always say in basics that this is the house of sex, death, rebirth, and shared resources. So it has a communal nature to it, a communal nature of relationships. So in the seventh house is where we bond in the relationship, right? We marry or we partner up or we form a business partnership. But in the eighth house now, this is where we share the resources between us, right? Where we get more into the intimacy of that relationship, what we share with a partner, right? Are we sharing of our bodies, our souls, our hearts, our finances, the gifts that we bring and the gifts that the other bring come together for the mutual benefit of the partnership. We're merging through sex in this house. We are sharing intimately, right? This is a house that seeks intimacy, that seeks commitment. So committed partnerships, right? Which is another, in human design, it's very clear that that sex isn't something that we are meant to be getting into capriciously, that it's really meant to be a commitment of intimacy, a sharing. It doesn't mean you have to be married or you have to have, you know, you have to have the I do's there in order to have sex. But it means that this particular house and the channel of reproduction in your human design say the same thing, that this is something you take on with care, right? That you are sharing something very deeply of yourself. And in the process, at least through sex, there is always the possibility of consequences. So being very aware of what's going on there as, are you ready to commit at that level to giving that much of yourself to someone else? This is also death and rebirth. So here we have the experiences of failed relationships. We have new or elevated relationships, right? We're moving maybe to the next level here. This is a house of divorce. It is where all kinds of transformations take place, career changes, life changes, how we are regenerated through that rebirthing process. So even though a marriage or a divorce might seem very big, it is really a sort of death and rebirth ritual that we're going through, and it creates transformation in our lives. Now, this house also has what I always like to call OPM, other people's money. So this is shared resources. So we share it with one another. When we marry, we blend our resources, right? And we each, if you're in a community property state, it's held in joint. And if you separate, then you have to separate everything in half, right? That's one consequence of marriage or of sharing our resources. But this is also shared resources through things like inheritance, through taxes or alimony, a consequence of a divorce, insurance. So we have a lot of money type situations where we are receiving from outside of what we earned through a partner or through other entities that give us money. So when we received the stimulus package, right, the economic impact payment, that was considered an eighth house, right? An eighth house giving, a receiving of funds that you didn't earn necessarily, right? So it comes from financial support from outside of what you yourself go to work every day to earn. This also can signify your resources from your spouse. So are you receiving, how does your spouse contribute or your significant other contribute to the well-being of the home or the couple, right? So unearned income, so taxes, liens, credit, debt, all of that also coming through this particular eighth house. Financial support, emotional support, spiritual support, and physical support all come in this eighth house. How are you supported financially? How are you supported through emotional turmoil, what supports you emotionally, what supports you physically, etc. There is a very expansive nature here as it relates to relationships, right? So when we take the relationship from love and romance into partnership and then into the sharing of resources and the sharing of ourselves, that it also points us to certain constrictions then that are put upon us by those that coming together. So think about this, there, and these are mostly societal constraints, but they can also be personal constraints. So for example, thinking of marriage and the commitment, the I do, which then becomes a committed sexual relationship if we take it into the eighth house, the vows signifying that we are saying that to, you know, we're combined together to, you know, our financial picture, to our sexuality, to living together, et cetera, et cetera. Think of the nature of a loan or a debt, right? You're signing a contract or an agreement that says you're giving me this and I'm going to do this. So we have societal constraints put upon us when we are taking in something else, right? When we're expanding, we are also constricting. So it's kind of an interesting place. Contracts that bind us and rules around the things that we do in the eighth house. So we have rules, whether you think we do or don't. There are certain societal rules of acceptability. And what we consider as a society is acceptable can be different from society to society, right? In Western cultures, we, you know, value education and we educate women and men. Some countries still in the dark ages aren't educating women, right? They don't have the same ability. So there's the constraint based on your society that you're in, the culture that you're in, on what you can do or not do. So it also brings us to the taboos, right? The secret stuff. The stuff that we view as abhorrent behavior or aberrant behavior that we as a society frown on, right? At one point in time, society, and I would still argue some people still hold this about homosexuality, and we, you know, the societal bias against that. There were societal biases at one time for intermarrying in different races, and all of these taboos that come up that are constraints put upon you. It didn't say that you couldn't marry, right? Except, you know, between gay people, that was a thing for a while. And I don't know if all 50 states have said that that's okay yet, but in many states you can marry that way. But the taboos are shaking apart at this point in time, right? But we still have some about pedophilia, about how young it is before you can have sex, how young or old you can be before you get married. So we still have these taboos that we as a society view as sort of our commandments, right? The 10 commandments were probably an eighth house process. I think laws often are brought about by the things that we agree upon as a society. So the eighth house shows us that in our charts. There is also a connection in the eighth house to rites and rites of passage and ritual. So we're peering into and accessing sometimes the hidden aspects of life here in the eighth house, the things that we cannot see with our eyes, like our soul, like our lineage, right? Those of you like J-Lo and me who, and probably others of you who have done some genealogy work, you see this sort of line that connects us all through the generations. So we're peering into and accessing something deeper about us, something more difficult maybe to connect to on a physical awareness level, but that we can access when we go into, say, a shamanic journey or to a meditative state or a yogic state. So the eighth house also rules the rituals that we use to get to those different places, to those exalted places or those exalted states of being. I also, historically, this would be an interesting house to have to look at over time, because this would have been where rites of passage for women and young men who would go through the rites of passage that take them from childhood into adulthood, or from childhood into womanhood or manhood. And I would say some of the issues that we have now in the society we're in is due to our loss of that kind of connection, right? The rituals that we do together as a society. We have a couple of them, like I could think of Super Bowl, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas. These are times where we come together with certain rituals that are common around the world. You may do it in different ways, but they bind us together as humans. But it used to be in our earlier history that, you know, almost every day was a ritual of some sort, right? We went through maybe a celebration of the sunrise, greeting the sun, and then maybe we went through a symbolic closing out of the day with a dousing of the fire, perhaps, that signaled that, you know, now we're going into the night or into the rest. And maybe, you know, the loss of those kinds of rituals has been a negative impact on us as a society and as a culture. So the eighth house maybe you're someone who really does love ritual, right? Who lights candles, or who, whatever, gets out and dances nude under the full moon. I don't know, but whatever it is, those rituals and those rites are important to our very identity and our very foundation. And that's where we see that in the eighth house, as well as what secrets do we keep and why. Those are also eighth house functions. And at times, planets moving through there expose those secrets. So likely when the sun is moving through Scorpio or other planets moving through Scorpio, it triggers those eighth house issues, and things can come up that we didn't expect to come up. So this is a house where we keep our secrets and why we keep those secrets. Maybe we have a secret taboo there, or, you know, somehow we're superstitious about saying or doing certain things. I always think about taboos. I think there was a show on TV called something about taboos, and you would see people with all kinds of piercings and all kinds of places and tattooing and all these kinds of things. At one point in time, societies have certain taboos, or even generations. Like I have two sisters that are 15 and 18 years older than me. And when I got my tattoo, I thought they were going to die, right? Because, oh my God, how could you do that to your body? Because it wasn't an acceptable thing for women to get tattoos, I guess, when they were growing up. For me, it was a completely different story. I never thought of getting a tattoo until I had a couple of years ago when I got my dragonfly over here. And oh, I still need to get my hummingbird over there. So taboos, also legacies. The eighth house is a great house for legacies. How will we be remembered? So you can even do this process while alive. What would you want people to say about you at your eulogy, in your memorial service, once you leave the physical being of the planet? What would people say? What would you want them to say? How would you like to be remembered? These things become your legacies, and they are shown in the eighth house. What kind of legacy would you like to live? So Asa's not peppering me with a bunch of questions. So you guys are either taking all that in, or I've somehow disappeared from the face of the earth. No, you guys are all just being quiet. Good. Let's take a look here. Questions. Woohoo. We do have new additions to the family. It went up to 540. Yes. Yay. I love it. Sue, nothing in my eighth house. Okay. I think I read that one. Deborah Johnson. Good morning. Home today, not feeling well. We're sorry to hear that. So hopefully you can receive some healing, energy from all of us. Sue said, yep, I figured that is why Mercury RX does not affect me too much, other than cleaning closets and drawers and pantries. I'm not sure what you were talking about there. Petra, good morning to you. It's good to see you, sweetie. And CR Bowl, Sue says, oh Lordy, no wonder I am an accountant. Ah, I love it. Augustina, I just pulled my chart. I have Pluto retrograde in Scorpio. Oh Lord, how did I not see this? Ah, please take a moment, please. J-Lo saying to hit the thumbs up button and also subscribe, hit the bell if you want notifications. J-Lo, wow, interesting. I wanted to dive into something that maybe my ancestors did. I was going to ask my sister. What a great time to ask about that. Perfect. Kathleen, Janet, thank you for being here so I can see and learn so many things. You're so welcome, Kathleen. And J-Lo, would that mean I can write a whole new story for my generation? Ooh, yeah, why not? Why not write a new story? But the other thing that this makes me think of is for people who have the gate 33 in their human design and the gate 13 defined in their human design, because here's where we're carrying those stories, the stories of humanity and the deep history of humanity, and then how those stories get shared, right? Used to be we'd sit around the campfire and we would share those stories at night, right? The stories of, there's a great scene in the movie Twilight, which one of them, I can't remember, it might be the second or third one, where the Native American Quileute Indians, which are out here on the coast of Washington, all come together, and the chief begins to tell the story of the tribe. And it's a very sacred thing, right? To come together around a campfire. And there's something primal here. And the eighth house reminds me of these primal needs that we have. And there's a level of commitment that also happens here in the eighth house. And commitment to carrying on the stories of humanity, commitment to adopting new stories, right? That gate of 32 of change, perhaps bringing us, urging us on to change things in the way that we have been telling stories. What stories are we telling? Are we telling about, death and destruction and all of that? Or do we have a new way that we can talk about the times that were difficult and how we came through them and how we, you know, emerged from that with a new reality, that kind of thing. Puffing Pixie currently has Uranus, Lilith, and Eris in her eighth house. If I look at my chart, whole signs, I love it. Then I currently have Mars retrograde and Chiron there. A bit nervous about either way. It, you know, Puffing Pixie, eighth house is a house of change, death and rebirth, right? It very rarely indicates your physical death. I mean, it's always possible, I suppose. I mean, but I wouldn't focus on that. It's about what is regenerating in your life. So you could look at it, what has died in your life? What has died in your business? What has died in your health? What has died in your finances? Blah, blah, blah. And how can I regenerate that? Right. So you have likely then you're talking about Aries energy, where Lilith, Eris, and are right now. Right. That's what sign they're in, as well as Chiron and Mars in retrograde. So the possibility now with Aries energy, it's very youthful. It's very regenerative energy. It boldly goes. Right? Boldly maybe is the key word here for you to face those places that you haven't wanted to look at before. To face the darkness within you or the darkness that's being presented to you. And darkness, by that I mean, you know, blind spots perhaps, or literal, you know, where I just don't know, right? I don't know. So maybe going and embracing the darkness, right? The inner quiet and accessing more of that. And maybe even through a ritual, a symbolic burning perhaps of the old, right? You can write them on pieces of paper and burn them, right? In a ritualistic way, you're letting go of the old and celebrating or welcoming in the new. And there's no mistaking the symbology here of Scorpio and also the eighth house of the phoenix, right? Rising from the ashes and rebirthing, right? That symbology is very powerful here. There's also the symbology of the scorpion here, that in the eighth house where we can continually keep, you know, almost that psychosis thing, right? Keep doing the same thing, stinging ourselves passive aggressively in preference to actually facing the darkness within, facing our own responsibility for things within. And then also the possibility of elevating up to the level of the eagle, where we rise above, we see a different perspective, and we adopt a new way of being. So there's a lot of really juicy stuff here in this particular house, in the sign of Scorpio that rules it. and whatever planets that you might have in that eighth house kind of show you what you're merging through in this particular life. In my own chart, I have Chiron, I think it is, in the eighth house. I'd have to look at that now, because now that I do it whole sign, it would be, is it Aquarius on my eighth house? It would be Aquarius on my eighth house. So that's where my Jupiter is. I'm going to have to take a look at my own chart again, because the different planets there might show you what types of things might happen when you choose to consciously transform, right? And change. Amy Energy says, I have Ceres and Eris in my eighth house in Aries. So you have the goddesses of plenty and the goddesses of discord. So I would say that you go through maybe ritualistic periods of time of upheaval where all of your resources are expended and then rebirthed when more resources come in. So you're possibly going through a process of lack and prosperity, lack and prosperity, which over time then would probably teach you about having something put away for a rainy day kind of thing. So maybe that's something you can look at in your own chart there. Puffing Pixie, thank you so much for soothing my fear regarding the eighth. I love your ideas about a ritual about burning the in for transformation. I'm going to do that. I think these things are so important. Because even in my own life, I notice how it's real easy, especially during COVID. Like my husband's birthday was yesterday, and we always had, you know, family get-togethers. And I mean, we celebrate like no other family. I mean, we all come together in celebration of whoever's birthday it is. And even though October is packed with birthdays and early November, we held parties for every single person. And every person was honored, you know, in that. But during this time of COVID, our birthday celebrations have been sort of muted, and the ritual of the birthday of the family coming together has been changed. And I looked at that yesterday with a bit of sadness, right? That there's this reluctance to, you know, come together because we're all, you know, in different areas with different people. And who wants to wear a mask at a birthday party? I don't. So we celebrate in different ways. We use our rituals in different ways now. So bring them back. And thanks, Asa. And, you know, discover the beauty of ritual in your own life, right? Even if it is just in the morning, waking up and, you know, greeting the sun, even if you can't see the sun, like here in the Pacific Northwest lately, we still know where it is. It rises in the east, you know, looking toward the east, and maybe doing a sun salutation yogic movement as a ritual to embrace the day. And then maybe doing a different pose, maybe a quieter pose for greeting the night. I mean, rituals, right? We can do them. And that eighth house loves that idea of rituals. All right. Great observations. Anybody have any questions about that eighth house? I know it is probably one of the more scary houses. As soon as you put the word death in it, I think people kind of go, ooh. What's dying? I know I do it, right? When I see that I have planets like Saturn going to go through my eighth house here very shortly, what does that mean? What does it mean? Am I going to die? Is Terry going to die? Is what, blah, 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 right? You get all that going in your head, and it can be very fearful. But there's nothing really to fear, because we go through a lot of transformations in our life every day. Even your whole body goes through a process of death and rebirth. Every 7 years, you are not the same person you were 7 years ago, because all of the cells of your body have died and been regenerated and replaced with new cells. So we're always in the process of death and rebirth. It is nothing new. It's kind of sacred, actually. Okay, Deborah Johnson, I have Chiron in my eighth house. I think I do too. And that's why I was thinking, is it Pisces there? Because I have a Chiron in Pisces, or is it Aquarius there? Not sure. So Chiron would mean a healing through transformation, like life probably bringing you lots of opportunities, particularly your first 50 years. I'm not sure how old you are, Deborah, so maybe you're not even 50 yet, but the first 50 years of your life, all about the triggers to the wound that you carry about death and rebirth, about regeneration, about sex. Sometimes the planets in an eighth house will show me as a reader of the chart where abuses have occurred. So where you have been the victim or the perpetrator of sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. And that may be this, you know, where a lot of the scariness of this eighth house comes into, where there's been financial upheavals, right? Where, you know, crash and burn from the financial standpoint, but there's always the rebirth that comes with it. So Deborah, Pisces, and I'm 57. So you're past the point at which you would be wounded. Now you're able to help others that carried the same wound of trust and surrender to a higher power, the fear of not being connected to anything other than the physical, a fear maybe even of death. And now you're in the process of helping others perhaps go through that. Petra says her eighth house is in Aries. So Petra, you're like someone else that was talking earlier about the planets right now that we have in Aries, which are Chiron and Mars in retrograde and Eris and the Black Moon Lilith, creating a sort of fear and shadows around divorce and around death and rebirth. And even if you aren't experiencing them personally, like you're getting a divorce or you're, you know, in transformation, you may be experiencing them from the world around you. And if you look around at the world, it's all about death and decay. It's all about the potential for regeneration, for rebirthing. So we're in a process of deconstruction in order to start something new. And that's what's on your eighth house, is the ability to start something new, right? To see the new, seeing the rising phoenix and the potential for that to create something new in your life. Hope that's helpful. And J-Lo, I learned that is a snake's way of growth. They look so pretty and shiny after they shed the old skin. Yeah, that there's that as well, right? We have to shed the old in order to grow and expand. You can't do that if you're still carrying around the old baggage. So there's another maybe component here of helping us to release that which no longer serves, right? And that could be beliefs, that could be literal relationships that don't serve you. That might mean your job, your old way of dressing or being, limitless things in our life, right? That we could be transforming, that could have turned into baggage in our lives that we can release ourselves from. All right, everybody. Well, that is it for me today. Tomorrow is Thursday, so we'll be doing some readings. Thursday, looking here, we do have some pretty incredible things to talk about astrologically tomorrow. The planet Mars moving into the gate 51 of shock and initiation. Yay, we are needing more of that. And the sun in a square to Pluto tomorrow. Some powerful things moving and shaking through our collective and through our individual charts, through our lives. And also preparing then for the new moon, which happens on Friday. All right, guys, have a great day. And thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget, hit the thumbs up button. Please subscribe if you haven't already. And share my videos. Feel free to share them with your friends.